Today's episode is sponsored by Audible, with an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more. Get a free 30-day trial at audible.com/IIRE. What is IIRE? That's, of course, investing in real estate. That's the name of this podcast. So just go to audible.com/IIRE, and you're going to get a free 30-day trial. And then you get a free book, too, which is awesome. So I love audiobooks. With all of the business books that I listen to and motivational books for my real estate company, my real estate business, and my investing life, just think about it. You could get the free book, Gary Keller's Millionaire Real Estate Investor, for free. You could download it on Audible while you're working out at the gym. You can listen to those audiobooks. You can learn about real estate. You can learn about the three stages of real estate investing that Gary talks about. Or you could listen to his other great book, The One Thing, which keeps you focused on your one goal. Audiobooks, of course, are great for flights, long road trips, or even your daily commute. You may think you don't have time to read great books, but you'd be surprised how many audiobooks you can hear each year, even only listening, just going, driving back to and from work. So, audiobooks, spoken word audio products, you're going to find what you're looking for. Get a free 30-day trial today by going to audible.com/IIRE. That's audible.com/IIRE. Thanks to Audible for sponsoring our show. Hey, everybody, and welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. I'm your humble host, Clayton Morris. Thank you so much for downloading the podcast, and thank you for all of your kind 5-star reviews in iTunes. It really helps other people discover the show. You know, we've done a lot of episodes here, and one of our most popular episodes was way back in episode 33. Now, that episode, the reason I did it was because I can't stand pretentiousness in real estate investing. I can't stand when people hang out in internet forums and tell you why they're better than you, or that I've been doing this for 30 years and I'm better than you and I know better than what you're going to do. You know, experience is great, but pretentiousness I have no tolerance for, which is why I do this show. I really want there to be as much openness and free resources available so people can take action, do it yourself, go out there, find a property, take action, and become a real estate investor. The whole point of this show is to build passive income and buy and hold real estate. Well, that episode, episode 33, was on understanding real estate jargon. And I find jargon to be, what's the best way to say this? I find jargon to be something that like the elite club puts together. It's like the insider's circle. It reminds me of like a club growing up. You know, maybe your friends had like the cool kids club, and they would keep certain kids in the neighborhood out of being involved in it, and they'd have secret passwords and that sort of stuff in order to, I don't know, to kind of ruffle your feathers a little bit, peacocking, you know, wanting to show off, I guess. And so I find jargon, those like little terms that the cool kids know, I think that it really holds people back. I think that it scares people from taking action, because they don't feel like they're on the inside circle, and they really feel like they're ignorant. Like, oh, I can't do that. I just don't know what they're talking about. I don't know the jargon. So in episode 33, I did an introduction to real estate jargon, and I went through a couple of key terms that you should all know. And if you're not familiar with that episode, you should go back and listen to it. It's really part one of this series. And so today we're going to do part two. In that episode, I covered ROI, which is return on investment. I covered rent roll. I covered CapEx, which is capital expenditures. I covered what the term cash on cash return means, and I covered tenant turnover, those five. So go back and listen to that episode, and I walk through those definitions so that you don't have to feel like you're on the outside. And today I want to dive even deeper into some of these terms that a lot of people throw around in order to, you know, I mean, look, it is experience talking, but it also can be a bit of pretentiousness talking. So today we're going to dive into part two of real estate jargon. And I want to start with a term that you hear a lot from commercial real estate investors or those who have, you know, larger properties that have 10 units, 15 units, et cetera. And it's the term called pro forma. Now, it's not just for real estate, of course, it's for business. So if a business is acquiring another business, they're going to want to look at the pro forma. They're going to want to see projections, exactly what this company could could potentially do over 3 years or 5 years out, right? You're not just buying the company today. You're buying the projections of what it could do later. And so it comes from a Latin term, and it literally means for the sake of form or as a matter of form. So in the world of investing, pro forma refers to really any method by which financial results are calculated. And really, it's on the projected figures, like the rent coming in. What are the operating expenses that are going to be cutting into your rent roll? Insurance. So you'll often see a pro forma. For instance, when we do our properties, we keep it simple. I mean, the pro forma for our properties, we're going to see taxes, your insurance, the property management fee. What is that? And what is the rent? Those sorts of things. And so that is how you would like identify your pro forma and look at those numbers on a spreadsheet. And so some of those pro formas can be massive, you know, they can be mind-boggling. If you look at a pro forma on some big commercial property, it can make your head spin. And other times you can see simple pro formas. So anytime you hear the term pro forma, it just means, hey, how is this property going to perform? What are the numbers that can show a projection of return over the next few years? The next term that I just mentioned briefly that I want to touch on is operating expenses. This is the next major category in the real estate pro forma. So when you're looking at a pro forma, you'll often see operating expenses. So it could be anything from property taxes, property insurance, property management fees, utilities, net leases. This is on a Class A property where maybe the tenant pays all or most of the operating expenses. So they'll pay, they're going to pay taxes, and they're going to pay the insurance. They're going to pay a lot of these different fees, and that's on a larger property, a larger Class A style, $400,000 home, those types of things. And other times, landlords will negotiate reimbursements where the tenant will pay a portion of the operating expenses every year. So for instance, on my properties, my tenants typically will pay all utilities. So the operating expenses, I'm not paying the water bill, or I'm not paying the electric bill, or I'm not paying for snow removal and grass cutting and that sort of thing. My tenants are responsible because I like to buy single family homes. That's my bread and butter. So on single family homes, the tenant is going to pay for those things and take care of all utilities. I don't pay utilities on any of my houses. There's one in Pennsylvania that I have that I think we pay a sewer bill because we can't like tie it to the tenant somehow. I don't know. Anyway, and it's like $15 or something ridiculous, a year, something so low. So anyway, that's like one where I'll pay that operating expense. But of course, when you're looking at your overall numbers, you want to account for your operating expenses. You don't want to forget that you're going to pay $400 for insurance or $1,000 for insurance. That is an operating expense of your property. Next up, another jargon term you're going to hear a lot of times, and I love this because it seems like a lot of new investors like to use this so they can seem like they're on the, they're in the cool kids club. Hey, what's the NOI? What's the NOI? Hey, man, what's the NOI? Yeah, you're on the inside now. You're a real estate investor. So NOI is net operating income. Net operating income. And frankly, it's literally by subtracting all of your operating expenses from your gross income for the property. So I always figure out, it really is another way of saying cash on cash return, or even ROI, return on investment. So NOI, net operating income. It's not the gross. Net. And how do I figure out NOI? Is I'm taking out 40% for operating expenses, vacancies, repairs, expenses. And what am I left with? What percentage am I going to have left over? And so my goal is always to have, between a 10 and 12% ROI or NOI. So it also, though, it's important to know that NOI, it ignores irregular expenditures like maybe paying a leasing commission or tenant improvement allowances or things like that, and some capital improvement expenditures on the property, maybe putting a new roof on it and those types of things. So, you can't account for a roof in an NOI. This is simply what is the cash return you're going to have in your pocket, net, not gross, at the end of the year. So there we go. Those are the first three, pro forma operating expenses and NOI. Next up is a lease up fee. When I first heard this years ago, I said, what is a lease up fee? I don't even know what that is. I mean, all these words I didn't know, you know, and you just feel like such an outsider. All right, what's a lease up fee? Well, when you're working with a property management company, they're going to charge you typically a lease up fee. That is going to cover the background checks that they're going to do on the tenant, criminal background checks, credit check is a separate fee. Background check that they'll do, but it'll all be bundled into this one lease up fee that you'll likely pay. So criminal background check, employment verification, they'll check with previous employers or current employers. They'll check with previous landlords to make sure they pay on time. They will, of course, run a credit check, those types of things. So that all gets bundled in, and it costs property management companies, you know, it depends on how much it costs. I mean, sometimes they'll use an online service and different things like that. You can probably argue that it probably should cost them about $100 or, you know, $150. So most of the time, a lease up fee is going to be in that, you know, it's going to be right around that amount. Some companies, though, will charge like a first month's rent. And, you know, that's something that you should talk to your property management company about. My companies don't do that. So we just had, I think it's like $150 lease up fee, roughly. It's kind of what I'm used to paying. I think in Pennsylvania, I'm trying to remember on two properties that I have there, there was a lease up fee, and it was like right around that same amount. And then another property, we may have had one where they take first month's rent. But that's, you know, again, it really comes down to the property management company. It comes down to the competition in a city. You know, if it's a more popular city, you may have higher fees because, hey, there's competition, and you're going to have the back and forth between different property management companies charging for these things. But a lease up fee, it's a part of the process. It's sort of typically baked in, and it's something that you're going to have to account for when you get a new tenant in the property. It's just for new tenants only, not if a person renews a lease, they're not going to do another lease up fee year over year. So if a tenant stays for 5 years, you're only paying one lease up fee at the beginning of that 5 years. So those are some of the pieces of jargon that I wanted to touch on today. So pro forma, you know, just refers to a method by which financial results are calculated. Operating expenses, it's, you know, property taxes, it's property insurance, property management fees, utilities. Things are going to eat into your cash flow. And the NOI is the net operating income that comes from subtracting all of those operating expenses from your gross. And what are you left with is your net. And then finally, lease up fee, that little fee that gets tacked on to finding a new tenant for the property. You just build that in, you know, it's part of doing business, knowing that your property management company is going to put a good tenant in the property. There you go. Some jargon for you. Episode 2 of our real estate jargon series. I'm hoping this is helpful and trying to level the playing field a little bit for you as a new real estate investor. Hey, if you would like real estate that's totally done for you, if you're thinking about getting into this and you want someone to just basically do it for you, come on over and visit us at Morris Invest. If you're interested in going that route, if you're not a DIYer and you like to do it all yourself, then go ahead. Absolutely. That's what this podcast is all about, helping you take action. But if you'd like for someone to take care of it all for you, just come over to morrisinvest.com and click on the book a call tab. And, you know, we find, fix, and fill, and manage great properties, and you just see amazing returns on your investment. So go out there, everyone. Become a real estate investor. Take action. We'll be back here with Wednesday with another episode of Investing in Real Estate. We've got a good one lined up for you, and I can't wait for you to hear what Natalie and I have cooking on Wednesday. So go out there, everyone. Become a real estate investor, and we'll see you back here on Wednesday.